Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Wednesday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and we're glad you're with us. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, Andrew Abbotty, back from his weekend home in the Bahamas. He's been out for a while, and he's back with us today. We're grateful for that. Southern Bancorp Studio, that's where we're broadcasting from, and the opening segment of the show, as it is every day, is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a great place to take your family tonight for a wonderful barbecue meal. Kelly, you still eating that cream spinach up there with the ice cream?
That's the thing that really is underrated the most about Dickey's. I mean, the barbecue itself is great, but all the great selection of side items. Yeah. You know, the macaroni and cheese, kids love that. The beans. I love the cream spinach.
Potato casserole, really good.
Oh, yeah, and those are kind of unusual. You don't get those. They're not standard side dishes.
All right. All right, well, a great night last night to be a Golden Eagle. Exciting, really good baseball game up in Jackson. Golden Eagles knock off their in-state rival Ole Miss 6-2 in a dramatic style, I think it's safe to say. Travis Creel joins us every Wednesday to talk about the midweek games and what's upcoming. And first of all, Coach, congratulations to you and all your fellow coaches. Your kids really battled last night and won solidly against a good Ole Miss baseball team.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, a lot of fun. Our guys came out and, you know, really competed at a high level. And there's a great crowd, great atmosphere. And, you know, those games at Trustmark are always fun. So it's always good to beat the Rebs.
How many times did you play there, Travis, in Trustmark?
It was kind of the same deal. We played there, you know, we played Ole Miss and State once a year. Actually, when I was in college, the conference tournament was there at least 1 year, maybe two. So a pretty good bit.
Right. And that stadium hasn't changed a bit, has it?
No.
Yeah. No, it hadn't changed.
There were some surface problems there a couple of years ago, Travis. Did y'all see that last night, or have they repaired that?
No, that was in 23. I remember the game ended on a Matt Edsel drag bunt in the fourth inning. The sod they had put down, it looked like they put the sod down the day before. But no, it's the grass is in the ground now, and it was a good surface last night.
All right, well, another good pitching performance by the Golden Eagles, but I want to talk about Davis Gillespie for just a minute. He breaks the game open with a 3-run home run, and in the first inning makes an ESPN highlight catch up against the wall, or that game would have gotten off to a lot different start. What a big night by that kid.
Yeah, no doubt. That was a huge play he made, and obviously, you know, a two-out homer, and momentum changes, and that could change the whole game, like you said. And then, you know, coming up, you know, probably a thing that goes unnoticed, you know, definitely not from the coaches, is Jake Cook getting first to third on Pratt's single with one out there. We want to be really aggressive trying to get first to third, especially with one out. And it makes Davis's job easier, right? He's trying to drive a ball to the outfield, doesn't have to worry about getting a hit, and just so happened he drove the ball over the outfield wall. So, it was a great game for Dave. And, you know, looking for big things in the future with him.
Before the guys get in here, Jake Cook, of course, making it pretty easy to look like he runs from first base home on hits to the outfield. And Bull did that last night, but the TV cameras were on Bull as he came across home plate. And he looked a little more winded than Jake Cook looks running from first to home, Coach.
Yeah, hey, I'm proud of him, though. That was huge, you know, with two outs. You know, we got to try to score on a double. You know, I'm not stopping you unless I think you're going to get thrown out by 40 feet. And, you know, he had a good secondary and cut the corners on the bases really well, and their right fielder had a little trouble with the ball. And that was a big run. That was a big insurance run.
Travis, now I'm going to tell you, I haven't told Bob and Kelly this, but I know the secret to why Davis had such a great night. I actually ran into him at a certain coffee shop in Hattiesburg about an hour before you guys left. He had never been to said coffee shop before, ordered for the first time ever. I would think it's in your best interest to maybe make sure he keeps visit. And you could talk to him about it. I'm not going to name them yet since they're not a, I guess, a sponsor.
Yeah, but I may send the whole team there on the next home game we have.
We had a nice 5-minute discussion. Davis, of course, is a great guy. But again, there might be a correlation to it. I'm just saying.
I'm with you. We're superstitious in the baseball world, so we'll send them all there.
And I want to know if Bob would like to say that to Bull's face, you know, make comments about
No, Bull's a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You better hope he is.
He's a teddy bear.
He is. He just seems like a big baby, doesn't he, Coach?
Yeah. He is a teddy bear. Hey, he competes when he gets one of those lines, but he's a teddy bear and the best kid in the world off the field.
Well, I'm glad whoever you sent home was safe, Travis, because heaven knows, you know, you're on thin ice. Just another reason.
Part of it.
Another reason to fire Creel. Hey, the game last night, Southern Miss won. It wasn't a matter of Ole Miss losing the game. You guys won the game, I thought. And there is a difference, isn't there, Coach Creel, between having another team lose a game and your team winning a game?
Sure, and that's a big part of baseball. I mean, a lot of games come down to self-inflicted wounds, whether it's walks, HBPs on the mound, errors on defense, and things like that. And like you said, for the most part last night, it was just a clean game. And when both teams play clean, you know, someone's got to win it. The other team's not going to lose it. So, you know, huge double from Ozzie in the first, and we get the two-out RBI from Nicky in that first inning to take momentum. And then, you know, they answered back, and then, you know, Dave with the big homer and Tuna with the big double. That was definitely an earned game. And for the most part, you know, pretty clean on both sides of the ball.
Travis, if you look at the actual box score without the actual score to the innings, you would probably think Ole Miss had won the game. You guys struck out 14 times, didn't get a lot of walks, and yet somehow, you guys won it soundly. I mean, is that kind of a credit to, I mean, the clutch, like when you guys needed to do something, you did it, both on the mound and in the batter's box. I mean, it seemed like it was just a clutch performance on both ends.
Yeah, definitely, you know, rising up when you need to in big moments, that does. And like you said, we struck out a lot last night. Not a part of who we are, but when you do strike out on offense, you need extra base hits, and we had two doubles, a triple, and a homer last night. So that's kind of the only thing that can kind of erase those K's and put crooked numbers on the board. You know, if you strike out a bunch and hit a bunch of singles, you're in for a long night. But the two doubles, triple, and a homer kind of neutralizes the K's. So there's definitely different ways to win games, and y'all have seen that we've won games in a lot of different ways this year. And I think that's the sign of a good team.
Coach, you got to talk about Colby Allen. I mean, this kid pitched a lot Saturday night, and then I was a little surprised to see his number called late. But, man, he just comes in, and just time after time after time, he throws that nasty sinker, and he just makes batters look bad.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough at bat, especially if you've never faced him. You know, our guys in scrimmages, they get comfortable with him. And they've seen it so much that we can start to get to them a little bit. But that first time you see Colby, I mean, it's 93 with power sink, and then it's 86 going the complete opposite direction, and it looks the same. So not to mention he's just the ultimate competitor. I mean, he wants the ball with the game on the line. He's very confident in himself. We didn't want to throw him more than an inning last night, but then things got dicey in the eighth, and we kind of figured that was the game right there. So – we brought him in to get four outs instead of three. But, yeah, Colby's clutch. Colby's an ultimate competitor, but he's also got really good stuff. And, it's nice to know you have that on the back end.
Were you a little antsy when he takes the mound, bases loaded right there for Ole Miss? And
three pitches.
Yeah, and three pitches.
Yeah, with him in the game, I'm going to be honest, it's a pretty calming presence he brings to the coaching staff. I know maybe Oz may not say that with the bases loaded. But, with him on the mound, you feel really confident that especially with a four-run lead, that you're going to win the game. And then last night, or in the ninth, you know, they get a leadoff. I think it was a leadoff walk, and then they get the little blooper single. And really, we're just thinking in our heads, we don't want Mitchell Sanford to come up. And luckily, we left him on deck. So that was huge to get that double play to end it without their three-hole hitter coming up.
I do have a question. I don't know if you'll know the answer to this, but it looked like Kobe gets the 0-2 count. And, you know, and tip for the non-baseball people, 0-2 count, the next pitch is typically a ball. I try and get them to chase. And it looked like that's what Ole Miss's hitter was expecting, and Kobe threw him a nasty strike and said, go ahead and hit it, and he kind of panicked. Was that the pitch call?
I would assume 0-2, he's trying to bury that pitch there. And he probably left it up a little higher than he wanted to. But, again, that comes with having good stuff. Like, if a guy with average stuff does that, it's a double. But that's the, you know, it's great to throw strikes, and it's great to be a big-time strike thrower. But being a strike thrower with elite stuff, that's what makes him so good. So he can almost, I hate to say, make a mistake. But that probably was a mistake on his, you know, on his in his mind. But he gets the punch out.
You got just a few more minutes, Coach?
Yeah, Bob, I'm here.
All right, we're talking to baseball coach Travis Creel on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Gosh, just feels good, doesn't it, Kelly?
And the thing about Allen, too, and I know we're going to break, but it's not like he's an imposing figure either. It's not like he's 6'8 coming straight over the top. You know, that's what makes his story even better, I think.
Big personality kid, too. We'll be right back more with baseball coach Travis Creel. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Still to come on the show, Mark Carson, former Golden Eagle pitcher, now the longtime baseball coach at Northwest Community College. Broke a big record. We're going to look forward to having him on the show in just a bit. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, campusbookmart.net. And we also want to remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast that you can hear every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa to play this or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll continue our conversation with baseball coach Travis Creel. Coach, we talked a little bit, obviously, about Kobe, but here's this is kind of getting to be pretty routine, but your starter goes 4 2/3, and then you start bringing in the relief staff, and they finish the game and do not give up a run. The rest of the night, they blank Ole Miss. Ole Miss scored 2 runs in the third and then off the board the rest of the night. Kelly's a big fan of your pitching staff and your relief pitchers, and he makes a great point, Coach, and that is when you got kids like that that can deal like that from the mound, you're going to win a lot of ball games. And shutting Ole Miss out for 6 consecutive innings, not an easy feat for any team to do, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I think Josh Hock is a huge piece for us. I mean, he didn't get the credit and the glory because he doesn't get the saves necessarily all the time. But what he did last night was huge. And like you said, with the bullpen, it, you know, the best bullpen we ever had was 2022. And you can just really shorten games. And you can feel like, you know, in the 6th inning in a tie game on offense, we can just try to play for 1 run instead of a big inning, because if we get the lead – with our back end, you feel pretty good about them closing it out. So Bullpen's been great. Chandler Best, it was good to see him come in last night and get their three-hole left-handed hitter out in a big situation. And then Ock and, Colby slamming the door. So, yeah, the bullpen was huge and kind of what college baseball is all about is on offense, you want to hit those middle relievers. And you know, when you're on defense, you need your middle relievers to pitch really well. So, big story of the game last night.
And something that I noticed last night that I'm not sure that I have ever noticed before, but when you talk about coaches, there are coaches that are known for recruiting. There are coaches that are known for, you know, pitching coaches, hitting coaches, whatever. But rarely is a head coach ever talked about when it comes to in-game management. And for what it's worth, like, he's going to lose a lot of sleep, what I think. But I thought Oz was a really good in-game manager. I thought he had a really good game last night, you know, navigating the game as it came to him. How would you describe his in-game style, Travis, as a coach?
Yeah, I think it's really important, especially in college baseball, to get guys out at the right time. And that's kind of what you're talking about.
Right.
A lot of times, you know, if guys haven't given up runs yet, the head coach doesn't want to pull them yet. But, you know, I think you kind of got to forecast what the guy's stuff's looking like. Is he starting to play down a little bit? Is he starting to look a little tired? We have a really fresh, good pitcher in the bullpen. And maybe even though, you know, Ock hadn't given up a run yet, maybe it's time to make a move. So, I'm with you. I think we did a great job last night of controlling the bullpen and managing the game. And really doing matchups where making it tough on their hitters to not, you know, score, like you said, from the third inning on.
Travis, I got a question for you. I know it's Oz filling out the lineup, but I assume you have some sort of input. You guys go with Ben Higdon last night, who is, you know, he struggled. And, you know, we got to see, or for those who did go to the scrimmages, saw the type of player he can be.
Yeah,
I guess why go to Higdon over Urban? And not that I'm faulting you guys for it,
because
Urban's kind of cooled off a little bit, although he's been a solid player. How do you go about assessing that DH spot between those two, and just why Higdon for this game?
Yeah, it's tough decisions. It really is. A couple reasons. One, their starter, obviously right-handed, it was really good stuff. I don't know if he'd given up a hit to a right-handed hitter all year. Actually, I know he had not given up a hit to a right-handed hitter all year in limited innings. And then Higdon, you know, we do live at-bats once during the week off of live arms, off of, you know, kind of like a scrimmage once a week. And last week he hit three homers. He's been swinging the bat really well. And lastly, he's been, you know, struggling a little bit for sure. But if you take away his pinch hit at-bats, he's hitting like .265 on the year coming into last night. So – we just thought maybe we'd get, you know, roll him out there. He's a good player. You know, if he gets going, y'all have seen it, it could really, really add another dynamic piece to our lineup. So I think you'll see those two continue to kind of be matched according to the pitcher, according to our matchup that day, because they both bring value in different ways. So I think they'll both get going. I feel comfortable saying that. And yeah, that was kind of the reason last night. We thought the matchup was much better for a lefty, and then Ben had really been practicing well.
And by managing it that way too, it keeps the element of competition in play. You know, that they can only get better when they're battling for playing time, because that is the reward.
Yeah, no question. All right, Coach, that's a great win last night. Of course, that's a huge fan base win. Everybody's very happy when you beat Ole Miss, and now you got to turn around and go to a team that's struggling below 500, not really, I think, considered one of the better teams in the league. Does that let down, A, concern you as a coach? B, as coaches, what do you do now to flush out the big win and get the kids ready for a team that on paper, they should beat pretty easily, I guess I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think, you know, the good thing about this team is we have a lot of guys who have been in the program for a while, and they know to block out the noise, and they know that any Division I baseball team can beat any Division I baseball team, just like East Tennessee State beat Tennessee last night. Just crazy things happen, so you got to show up and play good. We know Monroe's really well coached. We coached Fed over there. They got some older pieces as well. So, yeah, you know, I think just – you know, what Oz preaches is the most important game is the one we're playing today. And if we come out with energy and effort and play to our ability, then, you know, we'll be satisfied, win or lose. Just that's what we want to keep up. We want to keep up the energy. We want to keep up the effort, keep up the focus, and just go out there and compete.
But that Tennessee game last night, Bob, for the record, three guys on Tennessee were down with the flu. 12 had arthritis.
Because of their age, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to ask you to comment on that, Coach Green. But I am going to thank you for being on the show. We really look forward to our visits with you every Wednesday. It's always fun, and we'll look forward to having you back on soon.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Travis Creel, everybody. Let's switch gears real quick. Our man here actually hasn't been in the Bahamas, although he does have a second home there. He couldn't go this week because of spring football. So give us the Andrew Abbity report on what you're seeing in the new regime, shall we say.
Yeah, well, they've only had, I think today it will be their second practice. We as the media get to go for 20-ish minutes, and we're not get to see much. Like,
and then they throw you out. Is that what you're
trying
to say?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Brett Favre did make an appearance at the first practice.
Did they throw him out?
No.
No.
Which, yeah, whatever. He gets to say, and I can't. Come on. Anyway.
No, you say what you want.
Yeah. I say that in jest. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's a way different environment. You can start with that. I mean, it is way more I don't know how to explain it. It's drastically different than Coach Hall. And just the way they're running it, it is way more – it's almost like Army-like with how they just – and stretching alone. Like, they don't play music. They don't do any of that, which Hopson did that too, and he was fine. It's just listening to the coaches. There's no sound. Like, it's just listening to the coaches. And it's a way different environment. I think that's safe to say. And, you know, the moral of the story from, because we had media availability on Monday, I'll have a few different stories from everything. We were there for 2 hours with media availability. And, you know, the big thing is for Huff right now is developing – these individuals. He doesn't care about actually developing the team culture yet. It's hoping that these guys can try and learn the system, show that they fit into it, and that they're also doing the things they need to do in the day-to-day that transfer over into on the field. And if they're not doing those things, then they're going to be let go. They're going to be told to hit the transfer portal. And Huff expects that. That's how he did it at Marshall. He's expecting that here, especially with, you know, they got to assess this roster and figure out what they have and what they don't have. And in the second window of the portal, they'll be more selective on their actual needs rather than casting a net. So it's going to be a lot of – it looks like he's going to be trying to break a lot of people.
To put it in layman's terms, I heard a returning Southern Miss player describe – because I asked him that question, what's the difference? He said with Will Hall, it was more like summer camp. And with Coach Huff, it's more like a concentration camp.
Well, in the military, what they try to do, and I learned this through my son, is they break you down. When you go into basic training, they break you down and then build you back up. Is that what you're saying?
Not necessarily. I mean, maybe. But I think it's more of if you can't handle your day-to-day stuff, which, you know, that was kind of an issue with Coach Hall towards the end. If you can't handle the day-to-day stuff, it's likely going to transfer over onto the football field. So if you can't do the individual stuff, then the team part is not going to come for you. That's kind of what it's at. And Huff is going to throw the entire playbook at all the kids for them to hurry up and learn. And it's more of, okay, who's doing it right? Not the playbook per se right, but who is handling the learning process the right way.
Discipline is a bigger part of football, I think, than any other sport at the D1 level. Discipline starts and ends there.
And in all fairness, I don't think there was a lot of that the last couple of years on the football team. Did appear to me to be discipline. You
know? Yeah, I think so.
We'll be right back. Going to talk to Mark Carson, who is now a record-breaking coach at Northwest Community College via Southern Miss.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, I want to thank Coach Travis Creel for joining us in the first half of the show. It's always fun to talk to Coach Creel when we've just beaten Ole Miss, Kelly. I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Anytime you win a ball game, it's tough to win in that league.
It's hard. It's
tough to win in the MAC, as Coach Mark Carson's going to tell you here just a minute.
4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the program. It'll be a great place to catch all the Golden Eagle baseball games this weekend, since they'll be on the road. You can get yourself something good to eat and a cold drink and enjoy some fellow fan participation at 4th Street Bar and Grill. And we're very grateful to Slade and the great guys down there for sponsoring our show. They've been with us forever, and we're grateful.
And anytime the athletic department needs help, you know, with buying some extra tickets, or you know, they're always first
help.
In line.
One of Kelly's favorite spots in town is Mo Bay Beignet Company. That's where he got trounced by Luke Johnson in the beignet eating contest years ago. But they still let you in, Center, since that humiliating defeat you suffered down there?
As long as I got my wallet, they're going to let me in there.
Oh, okay. 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg. Kelly did eat all 6 beignets. It just took him a little longer, and he drank a quart of milk that day as well. It was pretty nasty.
Anything that you're going to enjoy, you take it slow, Bob. You take it slow.
Also, if you want to stay informed, even when he's in the Bahamas, you can check out the Pine Belt News. It's a go-to source for news and sports coverage in Hattiesburg, and you can also explore their other publication, Signature Magazine. This month, Kelly is modeling some wedding dresses?
Don't turn away our subscribers.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, we'll talk about that later.
It's actually tents.
You can get the Pine Belt News delivered to your home for just $35 per year or $55 annually. And if you sign up for 3 years, Andrew will cut your grass 10 times this summer.
No, that's fake news, I think.
This isn't CNN. What's wrong with you? Mark Carson is a former Golden Eagle. 1970-71 is the head base.
90-91.
You told me 70-71. Is he trying to date this man, Sander? What the world is wrong with you?
I was just doing my Joe Biden impression.
Okay. Northwest Community College, recently their all-time winningest coach, winning his 567th baseball game. And, Coach, congratulations. We apologize for Kelly trying to date you by 20 years, Coach Carson. Go ahead and tell him what you think about that.
Hey, I'll tell you, I feel 56. I don't feel 76, but I do feel 56.
Well, Coach, I got to tell you, with all due respect, after playing at Pearl River this past weekend, that aged you a little bit.
You know, I got up Monday morning and I thought, where did this gray hair come from? Where did that come from? Then I realized what kind of weekend I'd had, and it kind of explained it.
Well, you're the all-time winningest coach at Northwest Community College. You just had a stellar career there. And, you know, the junior college league, they talk a lot about football, but, boy, junior college baseball in Mississippi feeds these big three schools a lot of tremendous athletes, and it's probably as good as there is in the country, isn't it, Coach?
You know, I say that all the time. And of course, I played in this league back in 88 and 89 here at Northwest, and now I've had a chance to coach in it now for my 28th year. And there's a lot of times I think it can't get any better. It can't get any better, and it seems like the next year it's better. And it's just the parity in the league and just the strength of the league from top to bottom, I think it's one of the best in the country. And there's some great leagues in the country. The Florida JUCOs are really good. You know, out in Arizona, those schools are really good. But, I mean, top to bottom, we're as talented. You know, and I think it says a lot about your high school programs in the state and just baseball in Mississippi. I mean, it's just a hotbed for baseball talent. And a lot of that bleeds into the junior college system. And like you mentioned, it's really good in football, and it's extremely good in baseball.
Now you played for Hill Denson, right? At Southern.
I did.
And now, Coach Carson, when Billy Selby, who was a great Southern Miss Eagle baseball player in his own right,
yep,
plays at the major
yep.
league level with the Indians at the time and the Orioles, you know, among others, how do you get Billy Selby to get on board and say, "Hey, man, come and help me coach these group of Rangers up here in Senatobia"?
Well, you know, Bill and I roomed together there at Southern Miss, and we grew up here in the same area. And so we grew up since we were small, playing against each other, and went to different high schools. And so when we ended up there at Southern Miss as roommates, you know, we always kind of had a running joke. We wanted to both get back into coaching, and we all kind of had a running joke. Said, "Look, whoever gets the Northwest job first has got to hire the other one." and you know, we laughed about that for a while, but we really started looking at it and thought, you know what, this has got a shot to happen. And so, you know, when Bill was ending, when I came back to help Coach Castle, I guess that was 1998, would have been my first spring with him. You know, Bill was really in kind of the heyday of his professional career, and you know, and that career continued on, and I helped Coach Castle there for 7 or 8 years. And toward the end of it, you know, Coach Castle kind of let me know, hey, you know, I'm thinking about hanging it up. Do you have a guy in mind? I said, I do. And he was extremely excited about that because, you know, he coached Bill here at Northwest and knew what he would bring to the table. And so it just really – it worked out really good. It was a good transition period for all of us where he came in to help me. And, man, it's been a great relationship ever since. We've been through a lot together and personally and baseball-wise and our families. And it's just – it's been a great fit.
Coach, I want to ask you, how much has the transfer portal changed the game of JUCO in the sense of – I cover Jones and Pearl River, and their story is kind of the same. You know, you would think it'd be tougher, but you get more D1 bounce backs because the portal's overloaded, and then at the same time, the Division I schools are not recruiting high school athletes as heavily as they used to, and you guys just seem to be reaping the rewards of both of those.
We are. It's no doubt that, you know, every year, and I think you're going to see it even more next year. I think we're 2 or 3 years from watching it kind of settle off and plateau off. But, you know, the good for us is just what you said. There's guys at Ole Miss, at Southern, at Memphis, at Alabama, wherever it may be, that now all of a sudden if they do stay with this roster limit and they cut that down to what they say they are and it sticks, then you are going to see, you know, a lot of kids looking for homes. And you're going to see – you know, I was looking at Pearl River's roster this weekend down there at all the bounce backs they've got right now, and we've got a couple bounce backs, and I think everybody does, and it's just, you know, it is going to be a tremendous benefit for us to get those guys back. But I guess the where the portal concerns me is, you know, kind of what we have hung our hat on here at Northwest is been able to develop players and to move them on. And help them continue their baseball career at a high level, whether that be at Division I, Division II, professionally, or whatever it may be. That's what's getting harder and harder because there's really nowhere to go. Because, you know, in the past, where as Mississippi State or Ole Miss or Delta State or somewhere like that, you know, they needed a shortstop, well, a lot of times they may look into the junior college ranks to find a guy that can step in with experience and really contribute immediately. And now all of a sudden, you know, they can just put their nose in the portal. And they don't need the junior colleges as much as they did. And that's a concern of mine just because, you know, it's getting harder and harder to move your guys on. And so, you know, if that doesn't get fixed, you know, I'm a little concerned about what that does with the ability to move players on to the next level.
And, of course, with the roster limits in general, there's just going to be – not as many college athletes out there either, right?
You're right. Some of the kid that was coming out of high school, you know, that really needed to be in the junior college system, I mean, that guy may get left out. And, you know, the junior colleges are obviously going to get better and they're going to get more talented. And it's almost hard for me to even think about what I just said to be true. But you're going to see the NAIs, the D3s, the you know, the small Christian college leagues, those leagues are going to get extremely good too, and they're going to get better. And so for that thing, it's going to be a plus.
Statistically and generically speaking, Coach Carson, pitchers don't generally do very well as head coaches, managers. I'm talking strictly on a win on a win-loss basis. And again, that's with all due respect. Obviously, we're painting with a broad brush. But what do you attribute? You were a pitcher, but you've succeeding, averaging almost 27 wins a year. So how have you been able to do it?
Well, I'm going to blame Coach Denson because I went to Southern Miss as a position guy and got turned into a pitcher. So I'm not going to put myself in that pitcher category. How about that?
That's fair enough. Okay.
I went to Southern Miss to play third. And when I got down there, you know, there was, of course, you know, back then there wasn't the internet. You didn't have the communication you have now. And I get down there to start a school, and lo and behold, there's Kevin Young. And they had signed Kevin after they signed me out of Kansas City Community College. And, you know, and the rest is history. Kevin was a 13-year professional guy and just the best player I've ever played with. And man, you know, I never forget Coach Denson calling me in and saying, you know, hey, where do you think you stack up with this guy? And I kind of laughed because I thought I'm not even in this guy's league. And he said, well, he said, I agree, and I'm glad you see it that way. He said, we really need your arm. I had a good arm and could throw the ball fairly hard. And so immediately I went to being a pitcher, and so that was kind of my career. But so I'm gonna credit it that I had a mixture. I was a position guy and a pitcher, so maybe that's helped me.
Well, Coach, we're happy for your success. I've got just a few seconds left. I guess last night put a little bit of a smile on your face, too, that 6-2 Golden Eagle win up in Jackson.
You know, I didn't send him this time, but normally when Oz beats Ole Miss or State, I always send him a text say it's good to beat the Rebels or good to beat the Bulldogs, because when I played there, that was always a highlight, and we had a lot of success against them. And so I listened to the game actually coming home last night from Mississippi Delta after our game, and so it was good to see that.
No question. Coach, congratulations, and thanks very much for being on our show. We really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, Mark Carson, everybody. Head baseball coach, Northwest Community College, all-time leading winning coach at Northwest. All right, we'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. DBAT sponsors the final segment of our program every day on Hardy Street, state of the art baseball and softball training. Luke Reynolds is the manager. Call them, check them out, go to their Facebook page. I think you'll find something for every child on your list at DBAT on Hardy Street. Want to say hello to Kevin Mullins and our good buddies at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are absolutely fine, as is their new Genesis showroom, the only one in Mississippi on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And we're not going to forget about MCS Home Center, the Pine Belt's newest home improvement facility, our store, I should say, in Bellevue on Highway 98. Kelly and I have talked pretty extensively about it. But, man, it's nice, and they've got everything for you weekend warriors that want to do home improvements, want to work in your lawn, want to grow a garden, everything you'll need for all of those and many other things. Paint, flooring, tile, all available for you at MCS Home Center, where they're always going to serve you with a hometown smile.
I always improve people's homes merely by leaving.
I've heard that, yes. You're the only person I've ever known that the neighbors actually all contributed to buying you shutters for your windows. So they
it's just because I was walking around naked.
Well, I don't blame you. I'd have pitched in too, Kelly, if I'd ever seen anything like that.
As cheap as I am, that's a slam dunk to get your blinds and stuff free.
I don't need these images in my head.
No, you don't.
The neighbors sure don't either.
Yeah, that's why they bought the blinds, right? All right, news and notes, fellas. And you know, it's about college baseball, but Andrew, is there a more unpredictable sport than college baseball?
No, that's why it's awesome.
It is awesome. You're right about it. Go over some of the games last night.
Yeah, Southern Miss, Ole Miss was obviously that was a top 25 matchup. I guess in theory it's an upset since you know they're the higher ranked when Ole Miss was higher ranked. But there was a lot of upsets last night. Tennessee loses to East Tennessee,
20-0.
And East Tennessee, good team. SoCon, same place where Rio Grande Valley was, who had 5,000 fans at their stadium last night. They were hosting Texas Southern, which is crazy. UTSA beats Texas. Murray State, another good one, beats Kentucky. UNC Wilmington did Southern Miss fans favors by beating East Carolina. Mercer beats Florida State. Liberty beats Wake Forest. That's pretty much the big ones.
But I want to go back to
hard to predict.
And South Alabama almost beats Alabama on the road last night. Almost. They took them to extra innings.
And I want to go back to a point that Mark Carson made that Andrew can really fill us in more about, because he's written about it and has researched it, about just how deep the baseball talent in Mississippi from high school all the way up to colleges goes.
Well, you mentioned, I've written about it. I wrote about this area, but yeah, Mississippi's deep in itself. We've talked about it. But in Lamar and Forest County, not a single high school baseball team right now has a losing record. Pearl River is number one in JUCO. Jones College, number six. William Carey is number eight in the NAIA coaches poll. Southern Miss, of course, 19 for now. And then in Lamar and Forest, there are five teams that are ranked in their respective classifications, which is just insane.
I'm guessing some are all Purvis,
Oak Grove, yeah. And then Lumberton and Sacred Heart are really good. And that's just them. Like,
right.
Petal could be in there.
Right.
Forest County.
The Aggies.
The Aggies could be in there. PCS, kind of the sleeping giant right now. They've kind of hit a lull, but they seem to have figured it out again. They were state runners-up last year in the MAIS world.
Coached by former Southern Miss player Jarrett Hoffpower.
Yep. North Forest, who ran the table in the 80s. Everybody kind of forgets about their great dynasty. There's, I believe, 5-4 right now, which is their best start in, I think, in quite a while. But they're 2-0 in district play. I mean,
good for them. It's been such a proud tradition in Eatonville. I hope they can bring it back. But yesterday, Bob and I were talking about how South Al got messed over in the NIT, and we didn't really get a whole lot of opportunity to talk about it, other than they got a raw deal. But Andrew, you think this totally lies at the foot of Commissioner Keith Gill?
A lot of it does. I think so. I let me lead off by saying I think Keith Gill has overall done a good job as the Sun Belt commissioner. In fact, if he's not the commissioner, Southern Miss never moves to the Sun Belt. You know, baseball is doing great. Football has been solid. They kind of, you know, he was a big proponent of building of expanding the playoff, but man, he did a terrible job of managing basketball. You know, he's on the committee for the NCAA at large bids, and you know, if you go read AL.com, Craig Stevenson pretty much detailed the story. Sunbelt commissioner told his coach, South Alabama's coach, to break the news that they're in the NIT. And I just don't understand how, number one, you know, you have a seat at the table, and was it UC Riverside?
Yes.
Was in the CBI and the NIT. That shouldn't have been allowed to happen, for starters. Let's start with that. And secondly, South Alabama should have gotten a bid to the NIT regardless. And then let's flip it to the women. James Madison women not getting an at-large to the NCAA tournament. They go 18-0, win the Sun Belt regular season, and are left out. That was a crime, too. Again, I think that falls on the commish.
All right, fun show today. Talked a lot of baseball. Tomorrow we're going to hear from Southern Miss football player Chris Jones about how this new world is upon him here in spring football, and we'll have lots of other great guests for you too. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate it every day. Southern Miss
to the top. Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.